Hey everyone, this is Shane Schultz of The Mindset. We do this show every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, where we do our best to show you that our mindset can be our very best ally instead of our own personal enemy. But I certainly can't do this show on my own. I do it with a good friend of mine. Her name is Claudia Israel. Claudia, how are you this evening?
I'm really well, Shane. How are you?
I am doing really, really well. Thanks. I've had a really nice weekend, and we've been doing a few things with Speaking of the Heart that we're pretty excited about, and we'll be making some announcements in the near future here. You also have quite a few announcements, too, that you've been talking about in regards to Peace Stock and your main headliner lately. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that a little bit?
Oh, gosh, I would love to. Well, it is with great, great excitement that finally with everything that you need to do with contracts and stuff like that, I am now allowed to announce that we have Consider the Source as our headliner at Peace Stock. And for people who know Consider the Source, I know I've heard great excitement about them coming to Freedom Square in Troy. And for people who haven't heard of Consider the Source, please, please go check them out. They have a great Facebook page, and they actually created the event also on their Facebook page, which is really, really cool, as well as on all their websites. It actually says Peace Stock right now.
Awesome.
Which, yeah, it is pretty awesome to see it like that, you know?
Yeah.
But they're really a great bunch of guys in dealing with their production company and their team of people. They really have decided that they have chosen Peace Stock because at one point, I mean, we're a small venue. And when I shared with them that some of the sound system requirements were not like within our budget, they made it pretty clear to me that they really didn't care, that they wanted to work with us because they love the cause to raise awareness for suicide prevention. And they love the community that we're a part of and the Sanctuary for Independent Media. They are all about what the politics and causes are that we work for very hard there. So basically, they were really cool and said, kind of like, you picked us, but now we're choosing you. So I thought that was pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but even as exciting as Consider the Source, we have five local bands that are going to, or musicians, I should say, they're not all bands, or music acts, I guess, that are going to be there as well. We have our favorite, Andrew Wheeler, and go Andrew. He's going to be giving us a tribute to Jimi Hendrix, which is a lot of people know. He's one of my favorites. And we have Maurizio returning for year number three, who people don't know him. He's a great local acoustic musician, just put out his first CD, plays a lot locally at the Town Tavern and a venue in Saratoga. He's there every Sunday from 3 to 6. The name of the place eludes me. I'm sorry, Maurizio, that I can't remember that. But he plays out a lot, and he's just a really nice guy. The first year when I was really just learning how to do things, he really came in and saved the day kind of at the last second, because we had some acts back out, and he the night before said, sure, I'll come. That was really, really awesome of him. Mm. And he you know, plays a lot of the traditional folk songs of that time from Woodstock. So you'll hear John Lennon, Imagine, and things like that. So this year I also invited, or a friend of mine who also volunteers at the Sanctuary, Alicia, she recommended Eric Lewis, who is really cool guy. He's going to play the ukulele for us, and he plays really, really great. So if you get a chance to look him up on YouTube, it's awesome. And I invited Doc Magnum, that are a really cool local jam band that they're pretty stoked about playing the same stage as Consider the Source, because they're real big fans.
Yep.
Forever Young Band, that band is actually being put together special for Peace Stock by my good friend Peter Warren, who has been doing our sound system for This Is Year Number 3.
Wow.
So, yeah, the first 2 years he usually plays as a duo with a young woman, and they're called actually just Forever Young. But the music that they play isn't really conducive to like a Peace Stock event, so he actually put together a small band. And they called it the Forever Young Band, so it's still his female vocalist, and then they added a drummer and a bassist. They actually learned some great cover tunes and are doing some originals for us, and Peter is going to be our sound coordinator yet again. He'll be coordinating all the local music, making sure everything is up to par, and he'll actually get to play this year, which I'm really, really excited about. He's been a tremendous, tremendous support. And then also Troy Pohl, who is a good friend of mine, who actually engineered Andrew's and I first two volumes of the Acoustic Journeys that we do. He's actually going to be our sound engineer for Consider the Source, because I think they're looking for some recording quality. So he's actually using the large PA system that the Sanctuary owns to help us out. And then it goes without much ado that the Sanctuary for Independent Media has been highly, highly supportive of this event for its third year. Mm-hmm. This year, definitely the first year, they gave me a videographer, 14-year-old TJ, who wants to be a movie director someday. So they've taught him over the years how to use a camera. And he actually made our first video. He edited a little video for us that was kind of like a gift from the Sanctuary that I didn't even know they were going to do. Last year, they got the radio station, had TJ again interviewing people for a radio broadcast that'll come on at some point once we get the editing done for that. And this year, the Sanctuary's really kicked it up a notch, A, because they're letting us use the space earlier, and they provide all the electricity, you know, all the port-a-johns, as well as water and everything else. But now they'll be contributing with their PA system and any other kind of support that we need to make the show really shine this year. I mean, it shines every year, but this year it's a little more complicated than usual. But everything there is to raise awareness for the community and to bring hope and peace and kind of a good vibe to the causes that are there, as well as, you know, to my one of my missions in life, which is just peace of mind, you know. People who know me know I've always been obsessed with Woodstock and kind of what rolled out there. You know, one of my heroes was the guy who created the event, Michael Lang. Mm-hmm. So to actually kind of do something like what he did and do it, well, he didn't want to do it for free. It just ended up that way. I want to do it for free, you know, because that's kind of the vision I have for it. It's going to be a really cool event. I hope people come out. If there's a free barbecue, chicken, hot dogs, hamburgers, sides, there are going to be free henna tattoos. My friend Talat, this is her third year doing it. She is great. She'll tell you all about the meaning of the henna tattoo and how it represents community and celebration and love. I ordered like little bracelets that commemorate the event. It's all free and it's a great day and it's just going to be beautiful. So I hope a lot of people come out.
Yeah, it's really a fantastic event. There's no question about that. You've got a whole lot of things going on. Like you said, this is your third annual event that you've done with the Sanctuary BNP stock. And really, it kind of fits along with where we're going to be talking about our discussion today, which is talking about limiting our limitations. And it's really a spinoff of what it is that we were talking about last week when we were saying you need to start right where you are. When you were talking about P-Stock from year one to what is current now, you certainly had mentioned a number of times as to where you really didn't know what it is that you were getting yourself into, but it did not find you to be intimidated enough in order to give up on your dream, give up on your thought of this event. And of course, as here it is being the third year, you've grown as you continue to limit your limitations while you're moving on with P-Stock throughout the local community here.
You know what, Chin, I'm really glad you said it that way. That is exactly what it feels like. You know, the first year it was just, I think our listeners will appreciate this because people are getting used to me. Like my first thought when I got approval to do it was like, oh my God, what did I do? Mm-hmm. Like, oh no. Yep. Oh yes, but oh no. And the second year when I was asked to do it again, I mean, I had certainly thought I was going to do it again the second year because I loved the first year, but then the Sanctuary really approached me and gave me a date and I was like, wow, okay, cool. And I knew more and I felt good about it. And it was a learning curve. This year, it's interesting because I felt super confident where I was starting because usually I start a little late. Although last year they asked me to do the event 2 months before the date. It was interesting because the first year went so well. It took me 45 minutes to organize it because all the musicians I reached out to because of the first year were like, yes, 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 yes. The company that does the catering of the barbecue, they were like, oh, absolutely, yes. And I was like stunned. I remember I was on the phone in my car, like driving home thinking, all right, it's going to take a couple of weeks. Hopefully I can pull it off. And within 45 minutes, it was done. But it was only a 3-hour event last year, or 4 hours. This year, it's going to be a 7-hour event. Mm-hmm. But the thing that is interesting is not limiting your limitations. You know, I knew the local musicians that were coming and I was really excited. And I remember I was laying in bed one night and I was like, consider the source. What if I reached out to them and they came? And I remember having the thought, and I think our listeners will appreciate this, like, oh, no way. Right. They're never going to come. And then I found them on Facebook. Well, of course, they're a band. They're going to be on Facebook. And I messaged them like a little bit about like, hey, this is who I am. I'm asking you to come. And I thought, oh, they're never going to respond. And they did. Yeah. And so like all along the way, you know, there I was in a way thinking, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. How can this work? It can't be possible. They won't come. And then I'll never forget when I put out the email that I had read to you, that last one with like multiple links and everything, kind of like that plea in a way. And that like, come on, give me a chance email that I sent their production manager. Mm-hmm. And I was really anxious and I walked a labyrinth that night and I just needed to let it go and let it go to the universe. And I had a new thought come into my mind when I was walking the labyrinth, which was, why wouldn't they want to play this event? It's amazing. Mm-hmm. This event is incredible and what it stands for is incredible. And they're going to choose me. And wouldn't you know it, I had my answer the next day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just kind of like a lesson to me, which I need to learn over and over again, too, which is if you think it's going to happen, it's most likely going to happen. If you think it's not going to happen, most likely it's not going to happen. So why pray for something you don't want, which is what worrying is, which is what negative thinking is. It's about praying for something you don't want.
Yeah. Yeah, and whether it be consciously or subconsciously,
yes,
because
absolutely.
What happens is, like, for instance, look at the 4-minute mile. That's a prime example of limiting your limitations. Most people that know anything about running, especially when it comes to the Olympics, there is a task called the 4-minute mile. And for the longest time, the 4-minute mile could not be broken. It could not get there. There were numerous people that tried. There were people that were expected to beat the 4-minute mile easily, and yet they weren't able to do it. They were always falling short. And the reason was because they kept on having it played in their own mindset that it wasn't able to be beaten. It wasn't able to be beaten. I need to do this. I need to do this. I have to beat the 4-minute mile. Well, the problem was that they stopped at the 4 minutes instead of saying the 3-minute and 50-second mile. You see what I'm saying? They kept on saying the 4-minute mile and they fall short. What if they said the 3-minute and 50-second mile? What's next? Okay. Because you're going to end up maybe making the 350, or you might fall short of it, but guess what? You still beat the 4-minute mile. And you know, here's the thing. Ever since the 4-minute mile has been broken, now people break it on a daily basis. High school runners beat it on a daily basis. That's because the mindset changed. That's what we're trying to talk to you about here, folks. We talked about last week, start where you are. Because there's no time when it's going to be perfect. There's no time when there's going to be no adversity. There's no time that there's going to be no challenge that you're going to be going through. So we said, start right where you are. Well, we got you to move. Now, in order to get you to get the momentum going, well, you're going to have to start making decisions, right? You're going to have to start making some efforts. You're going to have to start taking some action in order to be able to make things work for you. And while you're doing that, you need your mindset to be in a way that is not going to be as limiting as what it was when you were finding yourself being stuck all the time. When you were finding yourself being in the same rut, the same place, the same feeling, the same thoughts over and over and over. So what we're doing here is we're talking about limiting your limitations and bringing yourself to a point as to where you are getting where it is that you want to get to, not because you are only trying to get there, but you're actually trying to be better than there. And that's exactly what it is that Claudia did with P-Stock. P-Stock, she thought that, listen, this is going to be my first event that I've ever done. I have no idea what the heck I'm doing, but you know what? What's it going to hurt in order to be able to ask people, in order to be able to help others? And she got an immediate response. She got a response that she wasn't even necessarily expecting. But when she started getting those responses, next thing you know, well, her limitations became limited. They were to the point as to where it's like, okay, now her limitations were a smaller percentage of her mindset. And that got her going to where now she then did the second year. And the second year, like Claudia had mentioned, was easier to organize because, again, she received responses that she might not have expected right away. And the only way that she got that was because she, again, started making decisions. She got the momentum rolling, and she was brave and she was courageous enough in order to make decisions. And that is what it is that we're talking about tonight, is to get the momentum going. Keep the momentum going with you. That's what we try to do here. When we talk about different shows, when we talk about different series that we do here on The Mindset and all the shows that are here on the Speaking Heart Radio Network, no doubt it is for a reason. We are doing things for a reason. We are doing things in order to be able to help others that are more like us than they are different. And Claudia, you know that that works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think that it's a good name for the show, to limit our limitations, because we are so focused in on those limitations in our life. And I think that's almost like, it's like a human thing, unless you've gotten to a point where you've overcome it often enough mm-hmm. that your mindset truly does kind of change to, wow, I can do this. I can do this, I can do this, and I'm going to do this. And certainly, that's where my mindset is around P-Stock. Like, this year, the confidence level is so much higher that it's kind of like, not that I don't want to be mindful in the moment right now, but I'm already having thoughts about, well, next year, you know, I know what I'm going to do next year. Yeah. And it's pretty exciting because now it's like nothing can stop me.
Hey, everyone. This is Shane Schultz of the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network. I want to take a moment and talk to you about our new podcast called Voices for Change. This is where my good friends Rebecca and Joe Lombardo, they provide a healing platform of awareness and a voice for change. This week's episode is one that you're not going to want to miss. It's going to be Whitney Waythor of the TLC Network, My Big Fat Fabulous Life. That's going to be this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network.
Right.
And that comes from definitely embracing that idea. And I mean, I embrace it, though, in so many ways, even in my personal life with, you know, we've talked about medical things that I've overcome, where it's just kind of like a nurse who's a good friend of mine who came to visit me when I was sick in the hospital told me later that she thought that was the last time she was going to see me.
Yeah.
Because I was so sick. And meanwhile, I was laying there and it was never a thought for me that I was not going to be around. I mean, it was like, I mean, that just, you know, it just was not a reality in my mind. And I'm not saying that everybody can overcome medical issues by thinking they're not going to be really sick. However, I think that mindset probably helped out. And actually, I remember friends coming to visit me when I was in the hospital, and something a friend said was, don't stop fighting. And it was like, that was never a thought either. Hell no. You know, I didn't stop fighting. That idea has never even crept into my head. And I think that's the kind of attitude we need to have. Like, we've talked about Nick Vujicic.
Yeah.
Who, you know, no arms, no legs, no worries. I mean, the man was born without limbs. Mm-hmm. And then, he had the little foot thing.
Yeah, drumstick.
Drumstick, that's right. I couldn't remember what he calls it. But, you know, here's somebody who, when you think about limitations, he totally limited his limitations. Like, he is one of the most sought after, I think, speakers because of all the things he's overcome and his great sense of humor with that. I've had the honor to actually meet his bodyguard, and boy, can he tell stories about Nick, of his antics, you know, behind the scenes, as well as what he even does in front of the scenes. Sure. So it's just really, truly exciting once you get into that thinking that I can, and then you have to maybe compromise. Like maybe, you know, the first time I wanted to do Peace Talk, I wanted Washington Park in Albany, and they were like, no.
Yeah.
And that could have been the end of it. And it was like, okay, so I can't have Washington Park. But now I know I was meant to be where I am. Mm-hmm. And actually, Steve at the Sanctuary said to me a couple of weeks ago when we were talking, he's like, you know, Claudia, you can have this event now at the riverfront. You can have this event now in Albany. Like, you know, our space is limited for what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I was like, it'll never be anywhere else. And he like high-fived me. He's like, hats off to you, Claudia, because you can make this bigger. And I was like, this is the home where it needs to be. You have to just keep moving forward and just keep saying, I can. And maybe I can't do it here, but maybe I can do it over there. Or maybe I can't have this big thing, but I can have a smaller version of it. And just kind of keep adjusting and moving with the flow of life. Because mm-hmm. if I had said, oh, I can't have Washington Park, so screw it, I'm not going to have it, then that would be it. There would be no Peace Talk. There would not be all the great things that it's brought today.
Right.
So it was like, okay, so I can't have Washington Park, which for people who don't live in the Capital District, that's like the place where, not festivals, but I guess, yeah, we have Lark Fest there, and we have the Tulip Fest there, and all kinds of stuff. So to have something, you know, in that area is well known. But now, you know, I think Freedom Square is going to be that place in Troy where things are going to happen. It's going to be, like, known for that. So, yeah, so it was great that I didn't get what I thought I wanted, you know. And sometimes I think that might be the lesson, too.
Sure.
Is getting something that we didn't even know we wanted out of pursuing something that we want. You never know what the gifts are. And that's why it's always good to pursue whatever you want to and to not think you can't, because the gift might be something completely different that's beautiful. Because The other thing that came out of me getting peace stock at the sanctuary at Freedom Square the first year is it brought me to the sanctuary.
Right.
Where the sanctuary is this amazing organization that believes in environmental activism, social activism. They do a ton of things with the arts. I mean, they're constantly getting grants from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Bloomberg Foundation, and they're doing this great initiative called Breathing Lights, where they're lighting up all the abandoned buildings in the Capital District, so Albany, Schenectady, and Troy, the entire months of October and November, 24/7, and the lights are going to pulse like the buildings are breathing to highlight urban plight and, you know, to help people who might want to buy one of these buildings and renovate them. And people have gutted out these buildings for the copper pipes and how landlords have let them just fall apart. So eventually they just turn into vacant lots. So, I mean, that's what they do. So as soon as I found this place, not only did they give me their space to have my festival that I believed in, but then it brought me to them as people and as a community. And I remember thinking that first year, even if this totally doesn't work, even if, you know, nobody shows up and it's a bust and whatever, I knew the best thing that could come out of it was that I found the sanctuary and I've been volunteering there every week since. Mm-hmm. And now they have a radio station that they got. So they were like, Claudia, you need to do a show on the radio. So, you know, it's turned into this other thing that I never knew I wanted, that I got just because I was pursuing something and not limiting, you know, my vision for myself in the future and for the community.
Well, and that's the thing. And one thing that while you were talking there that was very, very clear is that not every decision that we make is going to be a perfect result. It's not necessarily going to get the result that we're looking for. Though we try to do our very best in order to be able to get where we want to get to, often we don't find exactly what it is that we were looking for at that time, but we are then pointed in a direction of which actually works better over time, and we don't even realize it at the time. But then as we go along down in the future, we realize, man, if we had gone in the direction that we had planned on going in the first place, well, we might have hit the brick wall. We might not even have recovered. But considering the fact that we hit the brick wall, but we bounced off it and we went into a different direction, well, now look at where we are. We're not only where it is that we're supposed to be, but we're actually further along than what it is that we had planned in the first place. Like, for instance, I can give you an example with Arisen Strength. Okay, the podcast that I've done with Wayne the Hack Hacker, my good buddy, we do it every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That show would not have come into fruition. And guess what? If Arisen Strength didn't happen, guess what else wouldn't have happened? Speaking of the Heart Radio Network wouldn't have happened. The Mindset would not have happened. You know, The other shows that we have, like Voices for Change, Health and Wellness Project, Rustic Hour, Transparent Motives, those shows would not have happened. Because the way that my original thought was for Arisen Strength was initially just a letter to my demon. And it turned out to now it's a motivational piece. And, you know, when I had started to actually recite that motivational piece in different speeches that I would do at hospitals and clinics and so forth, people would come up to me and they said, you need to do something with that. Well, I had no idea what the heck they meant. So I started writing a book because in my personal view, I thought at the time, if I'm going to actually be heard, then I'm going to have to write a book for people to understand what it is that I'm trying to say. And I started writing a book and I've since I'm writing on a few books. And the thing is that I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't very good at it. I was okay with the different verbiage and I was okay with the setup and everything, but things just weren't clicking the way that I really wanted them to go. And so it was kind of frustrating, but I didn't want to lose the momentum that I had with Arisen Strength. I knew I had something. I just didn't know exactly what it is that I was going to do with it. And it wasn't until a couple months later that I actually had found myself watching a motivational video, and next thing you know, I came up with the idea for our podcast, the Arisen Strength Motivational Podcast. And that is how everything got started. It got started by me not actually getting done what it is that I initially thought I wanted to get done. Because I actually needed to grow in a different way to be able to learn how to do things in a different way. And this is where the direction that we ended up going. And I am more happy where it is that we are right now than what I would have been if I got exactly where I wanted to be in the first place. Does that make sense, Claudia?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, that's exactly the example I just gave by finding the sanctuary, you know. That, you know, that was like the gift. Like, if nothing else came out of any of the adventure of Peace Dock, I knew it brought me there, and that was a gift. And even though Peace Dock has been going well, the sanctuary is still such a gift from all of this. And like I said, I've been volunteering there every week, unless, of course, I'm, you know, a sick or something. But, you know, I mean, and that means a lot of different things, whether I'm working with kids there, whether I get involved in another project, whether I'll be doing a radio show. And sometimes I'm painting the walls for an art exhibit.
Yeah.
And that's okay with me, too, because I know somebody else's artwork is going to be on a nice, clean, painted wall, and I'm proud of that, too. So it's just all about finding whatever it is that might be in that journey. When you start to think that you can't do things or you shouldn't do things or your life is kind of, it is where it is and that's it, that's just so not true. I work with a lot of people who are in that place in their lives right now just by happenstance that are kind of like, wow, I'm 40, I'm 50, and this is my life. This is not my beautiful life. Like, where is my life? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, well, you have to create it. And, you know, I get a lot of puzzled looks on that. And it's like, you have to, if you want to become, you know, a video editor, then go volunteer somewhere and learn how to do that. If you want to work in fashion, go work with some of the local companies that are designing clothes and learn how to do that. You have to put in the work. You have to put in the effort. You have to put in the time. And then once you put in those things and make that commitment, it will come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it takes time. Peace Dock is in year three. The sanctuary is in year three. And a lot of stuff is really coming out of that. Even being involved with Andrew when we first made Acoustic Journeys, I'll never forget after our first recording session, we were out in the parking lot talking. All of a sudden, he had all these great ideas of bringing it to a live audience, which I had never thought of. Mm-hmm. And it turned into the collaboration of me trying to do the best I could to help him out with his blues band. So then it became like an even bigger project by getting involved even more in the local music community. And of course, Peace Dock feeds into that. But it's just really incredible what the journey is. You just have to get on the road. I guess maybe that's the way to put it. Mm-hmm. You never know until you get on the road. And for anybody who's been on a road trip, that is more true. Like Chevy Chase family vacation. You never know what's going to happen once you get on the road. But ultimately, life is an adventure. Right. And if you can look at life that way, boy, oh boy, it's fun. Even when you get a flat tire, even when you need the car to be fixed in another way, even if you get lost, even if you end up in the bad part of town, that's life.
There's a lot of things that happen when we're sitting here. Again, we realize that where we had you before last week's show, before start where you are right now, we know that you were stuck. We know that you were where you didn't want to be. We know that you were where you basically were submitted to stay. Okay. So we knew when we got you to the point as to where it's like, okay, look, there's not going to be a perfect time. So start where you are right now. Okay. Well, you got geared up, right? You got to the point as to where you wanted to do things. You wanted to do things for yourself like we were encouraging you to do. And then as the audience is sitting there saying, okay, I'm going to do things for myself, well, they're going to start making decisions. And there's a number of different things that come with making effective decisions. Now, we wanted the motivation to get into the passion of our audience so as to be able to start making decisions. That's the first thing. So then we're talking about effective decision making. Now, some of the things that are there that can keep us from moving forward and being a momentum as opposed to a wall or a stop is, you know, there's things like not enough information. In other words, you don't think that there's enough information for you to move off of where it is that you are. You think that there needs to be more information. You think that there's something that you're missing. So you're not going to move until you find that piece, or you think that every piece is in place. Okay. Another thing that might come into play, too much information. You might get overwhelmed. There might be a whole lot of different things. Think about it. With Claudia, when she was talking about PSTOC, didn't that sound as if like that was a whole lot going on in one spot? I mean, you had a whole lot of different things that were going on. You had the venue, you had the music, you had the entertainers, you had the sanctuary, you had the fact that she was actually turned down by one place at first. You know, a lot of things were going on all at one time. That can be pretty overwhelming. Another thing might be too many people. Folks, I can't say this enough. The people who you hang around make a difference in your life, one way or another. Can be a good influence. It could be a positive influence in your life, or it can find you being in an influence that keeps you right where it is that you are. Not necessarily negative, but how about just staying right where you are? That's not going to do you any good either. So you definitely, you know, it's easy to have too many decision makers in your head telling you what it is that you want to do. Take ownership of what it is that you want. Take ownership of you. That actually is one of the foundations with my show, Arisen Strength, with Wayne Hacker. You know, another thing that you might want to think about is your emotional attachments. Okay? You might have a whole lot of things that might be attached to where it is that you are right now. Okay? For instance, I can give you a prime example. I had a relationship that I absolutely was attached to. I was absolutely loved this person beyond any person that I ever loved before in my life. And I wanted to be with that person more than anything in the world. And guess what? That was also my anchor from moving forward. It was keeping me from being able to make decisions to move forward. Now, I'm telling you right here and now, to this very moment of this very day, I can tell you that if it was my choice, I would be in the relationship that I had envisioned way back when. But I also know that if I did that, then I would not be doing the things that I am doing now. So I definitely made the right decision on moving forward and getting things going in the direction that I want to get to. A lot of people out there, Claudia, are being deterred from these different type of things that can keep them stuck right where they are. And that's something that we're trying to keep people from doing to themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's really, really a great example, too, about being attached to this relationship. You know, I think I mentioned it, you know, I was with a very great group of friends for a long, long time. And I couldn't have really imagined my life without these people. And through a lot of different circumstances, our relationships kind of, we each moved on, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. And it was a little sudden, and it was really shocking. And I remember thinking, oh my God, you know, like, how is this going to work? Yeah. And actually, it was the best thing ever. Because exactly what you just said, like being in that relationship with, it was actually a group of folks. We talked and talked and talked about everything we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We talked about meditating. We never did it. We talked about doing all different kinds of volunteer things and actually doing something like the mindset and just kind of like bringing, you know, the philosophies of life out to other people and helping them and all that kind of, and we talked and talked and talked and talked. And then we would play video games and cook a burger and forget about it, you know, and it was just, I mean, it was all loving and kind, but there was no movement. Mm-hmm. And then when we all kind of went our separate ways, initially it was very destabilizing in many ways, and it felt uncertain and somewhat frightening. And then I met a new group of people, and they were doers. Today I meditate. Today we do this show together, and I do PSTOC, and I volunteer. And my life being 10 years older than I was at that time with that group of friends is more active, more busy, more fulfilling than I could have ever imagined. I'm doing more now at this stage in my life than I ever did when I was in my 20s and 30s, when people usually think, oh, that's the time of your life when you're the most active and you're doing and everything. No. No, no, no. It's today. And I'm absolutely, I know, 100,000% convinced if I was still with that group of friends who were all lovely people, this has nothing to do with that, wouldn't be where I am today. And I am so grateful that we were all able to kind of let each other go in love. And here we are today. I'm doing this. And, you know, I actually don't even know what all of them are doing anymore. And that's fine, too. But it's just incredible to recognize that, because, again, I one of the individuals in that group was a friend of mine for 24 years.
Yeah.
Now, that's a letting go process. That's really challenging.
Sure.
But that relationship was one of the ones that really did hold back my potential in a major way.
Yeah. And here's another thing, folks. I know that this might seem like it me being cynic, but I promise you, there are people that are out there who are in your circle that don't want you to succeed the way that you want to succeed. And it's not necessarily that they're doing it consciously. They could be doing it subconsciously. They could be in a way that's saying, well, if I can't do it, why would they be able to do it? If I'm not able to, you know, start my own podcast, why would they think they could do it? If I'm not able to be able to develop an event, why would they think that they could be able to do it? I mean, if I can't do it, then they can't do it. That's a big thing that goes on in our circles and the people that we're around. And so you really want to be careful with who it is that you associate yourself with. You want to make sure. And guess what? You're never going to end up with everybody being in your corner. That's not going to happen. And in some ways, that's a good thing, because although we're talking about limiting limitations, we're also going to talk about in the next show that we're going to do is all about making decisions from a wise mind. Now, that's something that we're going to talk about next week. So let's just keep on going with the momentum that we're doing here. And that is that to have another person that gives us an outside point of view. Now it's up to you to have the strength to value your decision. This is your life. It's your decisions. It's not your parents. It's not your friends. It's not your coworkers. It's not the person that you love even. It's your life. It's what you value. So you need to take value of what it is that you do. Take ownership of you and find what it is that's going to work for you and make your value that much more. It's like building stock. It's like building stock within your company. It's building stock within you. So take care of it and value it. Another thing is that while we're getting to the end of the show here, we've got about 10 minutes or so. Another thing that you want to talk about is don't be fearful of being uncomfortable when you make the decisions that you make. And that's something that's hard to talk about, Claudia, because there's a lot of people out there, man, they would like to get off of where it is that they are right now. But it's kind of scary when they don't know the answers of what is to come.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, and this is, you know, where I would say to most people, including I've had to say this to myself, is fear is okay. Mm-hmm. I think we have this tendency to just avoid unpleasant emotions to such a degree that we, you know, we limit ourselves, because fear is really a good teacher. It teaches us to go outside of our comfort zone. And the flip side of fear is it teaches us courage.
Right.
You know, when I was afraid when I first got PSTOC approved the first year, I was afraid. I was like excited. But then the reality was like I said jokingly in the beginning, like, oh, my God, what have I done? Oh, no. Yeah. Now I put this out there and now I have to follow through and I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, I have a great idea, but how to execute it, I really did not know how to do that. And by, well, just a lot of people helped me out. And I thank all of them for doing that, that had faith in me and showed up. So I think fear is okay. And I think once we can relax, Pema Chodron, who's my favorite teacher for this kind of topic, says that you need to relax into it. We tend to avoid and just run away and hide and avoid and push it away. Whereas fear and anger and anxiety and all of those emotions, unless they're clinically based in some way, they're okay to have. And they're there to teach us something. Like, fear is good because it makes us look around and go, oh boy, what do I need to do here? Mm-hmm. And it motivates us and it activates us. Anxiety, the same thing. It teaches us there's something we need to change. Anger teaches us something maybe that we need to look at in ourselves. You know, there are just so many lessons in all of our emotions that if we start to stop avoiding them and rest into them and just kind of sit with them and get to know them, then it's really not as bad as we think. It's actually pretty darn good. It's just we're so afraid that we get stuck there that we become immobilized and we don't learn and we don't grow. And so I encourage everybody to go beyond your comfort zone, just to experience anxiety and fear a little bit, to feel it a little bit and rest with it a little bit and realize, oh, wow, this didn't kill me.
There's a movie that a whole lot of people out there are so very familiar with. It's a Rocky Balboa movie. I think it's number 5. I'm not altogether sure. But Rocky Balboa is actually the trainer in this instance, and he is teaching this young fighter all about the different skills and the different nuances of what it is that Rocky Balboa learned during his career in boxing. And one of them was, is like, he asked the kid, he goes, well, who's your best friend? And, you know, the kid said, oh, well, that's, you know, Tommy something, whatever, whatever. And he goes, no. Your best friend is Frankie Fear. And the kid looked at him like, what are you talking about? He's like, you see, and Rocky said, fear is your best friend. He says, it can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. The thing about fear is that it makes us act. It makes us have action. And this is what this whole show is all about. It's to keep the momentum going. Keep the momentum going from where it is that you started last week. And so when you're talking about fear, when you're talking about making decisions that are a little bit scary in a way for what it is that you're thinking about from where it is that you were not that long ago, fear actually makes you hot. It actually makes you dangerous in a way, not in a detrimental way, in a way that's good, in a way that you can actually get something done. It gives you power. It gives you strength. It gives you life within you. This, it's like a fire that's within someone in order to make things different. You know, we've talked about a number of different examples of what we are trying to get across here, and that is to limit your limitations. There's a lot of people out there in our audience that have a whole lot of different limitations, whether it be medical or mental in their capacity. Here's the thing. One thing that I've learned is that there is always somebody who's dealing with something that somebody else is dealing with, and for whatever reason, they deal with it in a way that is more advantageous to them or more positive to them than the other person. Now, why is that? It's not because, let's say, this person has Lyme disease. This person has Lyme disease. Why does person A get a little bit further, have a little bit more of a value of life to themselves, have more fun in their life, have more freedom in their life? Why do they have that when the other person, person B, with Lyme disease, does not? Now, of course, there can be different changes in the medical condition, and I get that. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, Nick Vujicic, we were talking about, he was born without limbs. I mean, he has a little drumstick for a foot. Okay. And what it is that he didn't believe that life was all grand all the time. He had a point in time as to where he didn't think that life was worth living. But he came to find out when he stopped limiting himself, and I'll tell you when it was, when he decided that he wanted to be a speaker, it was the funniest thing when I heard him talk about this. Because what he decided, he wanted to be a speaker. He just went and he just started calling people. And he'd calling people and calling people and calling people. And what was happening is that the different venues were saying no. Similar to what Claudia got with PSTOC. We got no with a certain venue. Okay. Well, he got no more times than you can possibly imagine. No, 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 no. Well, the next thing you know, he is changing his pitch. He's changing everything around. He's getting stronger, right? He's not getting set in his ways. He's not getting to the point as to where it's like he's, you know, submitting to what it is that's happening to him. He's actually getting stronger. He's changing his pitch. He's getting a little bit different. He's going a little bit further. He's limiting his limitations. Finally, he gets somebody, and he gets somebody to say, yes, when can you come out and speak? Well, the first thing that he wanted to talk about was, well, is he going to get paid? And they said, oh, it's not for free? and he's like, well, no, it's not for free. And she goes, okay, well, how much? And he said, $50. And she goes, okay, we can do that. He goes, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. He goes, and can I have your address? Well, it turns out that they were just about another state away from where it is that he lived. And he had no way of getting there. You really got to look him up because it's really funny. But he ended up getting there, and he's ended up with this amazing career ever since. He limited his limitations. He made his limitations a smaller percentage in his mindset. And that allowed him to find out what it is that he can do as opposed to what he can't. And that is what life is really all about. And that's what makes a difference in life. That's what makes a difference. That's what makes a value in life. That's what makes a purpose in life. Because then you start seeing the possibilities. Look at what it is that we were talking about. And I did this on purpose when we're talking about PSTOC. We started talking about the first year. We didn't know if anybody was going to come. We didn't know if anybody was going to want to play. But we finally got some yeses right away. We got an instant response. Things got going in the right direction. Okay. Next thing you know, the second year, you know, last year, and it was a great time. The third year, this year, Claudia did not just stay in the same realm of things. She decided that she wanted to change things up. She decided to limit her limitations, and she found new possibilities. And now she has an event of which started 3 years ago, and it is now more than anything that she would have ever have expected the first time when she thought about it. And that's what we're talking about. Limit your limitations. Find out what the possibilities are. And Claudia, this show, that's what we're trying to get across. You know, when we're trying to get people to move off of where it is that they are, we're trying to gain the momentum. It's all about learning the possibilities. But unfortunately, you really got to find out what your limitations are for you to find those possibilities.
Definitely. Definitely. And then, you know, not only limiting your limitations, but then also embracing them and not, I'm not saying playing them up, but you know, it's okay as human beings to also have some limitations and work with that. Mm-hmm. So I've said this before, you know, some of the most successful comedians, I think, talk about the human condition. And the human condition is pretty amusing. And that means we have limitations, and that means we have flaws and faults, and we do things that, you know, can sometimes embarrass us or make us not feel so good about ourselves. And I think it's really important to also kind of not let those limitations that we do have make us feel bad about ourselves either. Mm-hmm. Like Nick, he took his limitations of not having any limbs. Not only did he not limit himself because of that, but he embraces that part of himself. He acknowledges that part and embraces it and loves himself and the way he is. And I think that's important too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. Well, you know what? It doesn't take very long for our show to just fly by.
True. Very true.
So Like we were talking about, our next show for next week is going to be about the wise mind. And Claudia, why don't you go ahead and talk about that a little bit? Because there's a little bit more to it than what some might think, developing a wise mind when it comes to making decisions. Why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of an overview of what we'll talk about next week?
What's it worth to you?
$50, and I'm in three different states.
Another state. Well, I mean, wise mind is a concept that our mind actually has kind of two large aspects. One is our emotion mind, and one is our rational mind. Wise mind is basically finding that ground, because rational mind and emotion mind overlap. So if you picture two circles and they're overlapping, and then that little kind of like leaf-like shape in the middle, that's wise mind. So it's recognizing when you are in pure emotion mind, which is when somebody says something to you and you think out of nowhere you just want to rip that person's face off. And, you know, your rational mind is like, Claudia, don't do that. That's not really effective. And then you'll go to jail and then you can't do peace talk. So, you know, that rational mind needs to come in. That's wise mind. So we're going to talk about that next week and how to find that balance and how to discover where are you really coming from and how can you push into the other side of the mind if you're usually on one side, but then, you know, how to find that middle ground.
That sounds like a plan. Like I said, folks, we do these shows in a way that we have a series, somebody who is more like us than different, in a better way than what they were the day before and the day before that. And really, that's what it's about, making our mindset our very best ally. For now, I'm Shane Schultz, and she is?
Claudia Israel.
Claudia Israel, my very good friend and our expert on the mindset and the Speaking the Heart radio network of the mindset. Folks, we want to say thank you for listening, and have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.